Leadership brings with it demands, expectations, and requirements. The failure of the one in that seat of leadership can quickly impact and place at risk the many. My guest with his new book details how a combination of leadership failure and ignorant ideology by Barack Obama and his administration has placed America, the members of America's military, as well as her allies, at great risk while empowering its enemies. Here he lays out the facts in tandem with his personal military experience in the book Trust Betrayed, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the selling out of America's national security. He's a former Navy SEAL, current member of the Virginia House of Delegates, Scott Taylor. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning, you and your audience, of course.
And you can find Scott on the web at scotttaylorva.com as well as on Facebook. But definitely, I can tell you his book, Trust Betrayed, is one of those must-read additions to your library because of the way that he lays out through his expertise exactly what is going wrong and kind of, for lack of a better phrase, makes sense of some of the things that we've seen happen over the past few years. But just a little background on you, Scott. What is your, mentioning you were a Navy SEAL, what's your, official military experience contain?
Yeah, sure. Well, I spent roughly just over 8 years in the SEAL teams. I spent a lot of time, probably collectively over 2 years, in South and Central America doing counter-drug missions and teaching host nations, special forces. And then, of course, I came back and was a marksmanship and reconnaissance instructor for our own SEALs, preparing them for war. And then I went to war myself in Iraq as a sniper. And when I got out, I went to Yemen about 10 times over 4 years, negotiating with armed tribal sheikhs and doing security management for a U.S. oil company.
Now, when it comes to how the Obama administration, including Hillary Clinton, who obviously is a key name as we move toward 2016, and John Kerry, considering his current role in the state of world affairs, as disastrous as they are concerned, one of your chief, and you have several, one of your chief concerns, worries, and criticisms is the level of leakage from this administration. Give a little detail about how
sure.
how much the leaks are placing the military, the strategy, and really the future of freedom at risk.
Yeah, no problem. I detail it, like you said, in the book very well. We use media research, scholarly research, as well as personal anecdotal stories. When you're talking about the leaks, it really, this administration has leaked more high-level security secrets than anyone ever before, unprecedented. We couldn't find it anywhere. I would be disingenuous to say there was never any leaks in other administrations, because there certainly were. But if you just look at, take for example, election year, when you knew who went and got bin Laden, what unit was, how they got there, what the tactics were, what the intel was on target, the actual intel that could have been used for furthering other missions as well. And then, of course, you heard about the Stuxnet virus in Iran, the double agent in Yemen. So what you have are all these very high-level leaks that went to the New York Times to write stories and make the president look really strong in a presidential election year. And I think it's important to say to your audience, just because you have a top-secret clearance does not mean that you're privy to all top-secret information. It's very compartmentalized. So some of these things were coming out at the very highest levels. And what that does, of course, is hinder future operations, and it puts men and women who are on the front lines, puts their lives in jeopardy. And that's one of the reasons why we started to speak out, former Special Forces and intelligence folks, because it's our guys who are on the front lines who would be potentially killed based on somebody's loose lips for personal political ambitions. And that's what this book really talks about. It talks about American foreign policy and national security policies that are put in place and have been put in place under this administration for their own personal political gain at the expense of American interest.
We're going to get into a few more of those, but I've always seen these polls where the approval rating of a president from specifically members of the military, typically you go back through the years, even with Clinton years, it was on the, you know, above 50%, Bush years far above 50%, but with Obama, his approval rating with military members is down to 18%, and having read Trust Betrayed, that makes me believe that the decisions and the actions made in Washington and by this administration, the people in the military know what's going on, the experience firsthand, the result of what's going on, and it's got to be as far as morale, as far as initiative, as far as re-upping for continued service, it's got to make keeping a military machine together challenging for those who are still dedicated to try to make this all work.
Well, I certainly can't speak for everyone, but I will absolutely say that morale certainly suffered at both active duty and for sure in the veterans community, who, like myself, are now civilians, so they can speak out. And I think, quite frankly, you're going to see a lot, if we continue upon this path, I think you're going to see a lot more veterans that are going to be speaking out. You know, we weren't a generation that went overseas to fight the evil of terrorism, that just to come back to see that battle lost with misguided national security and foreign policies.
Talking with former Navy SEAL Scott Taylor, who's a current member of the Virginia House of Delegates. His new book, Trust Betrayed, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the Selling Out of America's National Security. Scott Taylor, VA.com on the web. He's also on Facebook. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I don't say this as a joke or anything, but, you know, I do political endorsements. I've spent my time at horse race tracks, and my batting average making selections I thought was pretty bad. But then you look at the foreign policy decisions by this administration, makes me look like Jimmy the Greek from back in the day. Because, well, I mean, just look at the Arab Spring in Egypt. I mean, could this administration have possibly been more wrong than they were on putting their bets on the Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, I can tell you, I went to on a high level delegation to Egypt, meeting with the youth revolutionaries. I prayed with the Christian Coptic Pope in the middle of the desert. I met with the general, who now President Sisi. And they were very upset because you had the administration and the State Department under Hillary Clinton publicly out in front, basically endorsing the Muslim Brotherhood in their election. And, you know, I think that the takeaway here is, and certainly with the American Spring, you have to act with foreign policies and national securities on how the world actually is, not how you wish it to be. You know, that the wishful thinking does nothing to advance American interests, and that's what we see with this administration, where we have alienated our allies like Egypt, like Israel, and accommodated our foes like Iran.
You know, speaking of Egypt, it's to the point now where Egypt was able to right itself to the point where when Saudi Arabia started to feel the threat of ISIS, instead of turning to America, they turned to Egypt for help.
Yeah, Egypt's certainly a bulwark in that region. That's one of the reasons why they're a good ally for us. You know, the largest Arab population there. They've helped us with disputes. They give us headline privileges in the Suez Canal. They keep security there, and they keep that sacred deal with Israel, basically a truce with Israel, Camp David Accords. And it's exactly what they wanted to do, but it's exactly the opposite of what the Muslim Brotherhood wanted to do. In fact, they wanted to cease relations with Israel. You saw arming weapons being smuggled in from Libya that was destabilized, of course, by Hillary and this administration, coming into the Sinai Peninsula. And now Egypt and Israel, the military of Egypt, were coordinating to try to get rid of those terrorists that were taking these guns and smuggling them through the Sinai Peninsula. And that was on the rise, and terrorism activity was on the rise under the Muslim Brotherhood because, of course, their militant wing is Hamas.
You know, speaking,
it was a terrible decision of our administration to support the Muslim Brotherhood publicly.
You know, mentioning ISIS too, of course, it leads us to Iraq and everything that's happening there. If you listen to the administration, they're talking it up as progress is being made. We're beating back ISIS through the coalition. Of course, 90% of the work of the coalition is done by American troops, but that's, I guess, splitting hairs. But nevertheless, last time I looked at the map and did some math, ISIS now controls a piece of land that's greater than the size of Great Britain. Where's the success in that?
That's not any success. I mean, what you see is that the president reacting to polls and does as little as possible to deal with it, right? So if you're gonna put our men and women in harm's way, if we're gonna make that decision as a country to send people in, you can't have them fight with one hand tied behind the back. You beat your enemy into submission. That's not to say that we need to be intervening everywhere. That's not true. But if we make the decision to do it, and we're all in. And we were talking about leaks earlier. I mean, you know that they're going to be trying to take back Mosul. You knew how many troops were going there, when it was, what the Americans were contributing to them. I mean, those things are very unnecessary, and they get people killed. So we need a strategy, physically, mentally, and virtually, to counter ISIS. I tell you, look, one of the most American industries we have are our marketing and advertising. That's why you have people who wear Michael Jordan t-shirts in the Congo, drink Pepsi in Paraguay, and dance hip-hop in Haiti.
Yeah.
So we can certainly use our soft power as well to counter the ideology and the marketing brand of ISIS. But if we're going to physically get involved, then we need to pound them into submission.
You're kind of ironic. A president like Obama, who's a big proponent of net neutrality and the Internet, and yet it's the terrorists who are doing the most recruiting through the social media. They even had, until it was taken down rather quickly, fortunately, ISIS had a Facebook page, believe it or not, a week or so ago.
Yeah, I mean, they very successfully utilize social media and Twitter to recruit folks and stuff like that. And that's something that you can easily counter that. And they haven't, like I said, we have to have a strategy physically, mentally, and virtually.
Wrapping up our time with Scott Taylor, Trust Betrayed, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the Selling Out of America's National Security, ScottTaylorVA.com on the web. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. People like to get analytical about why someone is who they are or why they do what they do. And I thought back to when Obama took exception to the phrase American exceptionalism. And he basically equated America by lowering her with other countries, even those in the third world. Is that part of the root of the problem? He just doesn't see America as a leader, so that makes him a weaker leader?
Well, I mean, my personal opinion is he's not a strong leader anyway. But the we need, and it's going to be folks like yourself and listeners, your listeners that are going to be elected the next leader. And we have got to have a leader who is unabashedly for America, America's cheerleader, will look folks like Putin in the eye and tell them how great we are and tell them how far we will go and how far we will not let him go. And that's the type of person that we need there. We don't need somebody who's wishy-washy who can't even bring himself to say Islamic extremism, which, of course, is a cancer in that religion that is part of the problem. We don't need a wishy-washy leader. We need a strong leader. That we've lost position in the world because of that, because this president wishes, his policies are based on wishful thinking. And the Middle East, that part of the world, people respect strength and power. And that's it. They don't care that your name, your middle name is Hussein. They don't care about your Ivy League education. They respect strength and power. And that is the type of leader that we need to put in the Oval Office to get us back on track. But I'm confident. It's not all doom and gloom. We've done it before. This is who we are. We'll get back up. We'll dust our knees off and we'll move forward.
I would say if we can recover from Jimmy Carter, we can recover from anything. So
there you go.
The book again is Trust Betrayed, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the Selling Out of America's National Security. Scott goes in greater detail about what we talked about here, as well as a lot more that no doubt has had you scratching your head over. And I know I've got some of those emails over on our website, issuesandideasradio.com, about Benghazi, but Scott goes into greater detail and brings about a lot more you should be asking this administration about regarding the Benghazi attacks and some of the games that they played, word, political, and several points in between about that whole tragedy, how they tried to dodge the heat of everything that took place. And unlike what Hillary once said, it does make a difference about who knew what and who did not do what. Trust Betrayed, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the Selling Out of America's National Security. He's a former Navy SEAL, current member of the Virginia House of Delegates, Scott Taylor. Scott, you continue serving your country well by presenting the truth to us. Thank you for doing that, for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure with you and your audience. You guys have a wonderful day up there in Jersey.